This is a great job, isn't it? You never think you see me caged in. I take the pulpit with me. Praise God. Anne's fine, by the way. We just had a very long week. I told her to rest. We had people with us all week. Pastor Jared mentioned, I had a very good friend. They'd contacted me many times. They wanted to come to see us. They're tremendous friends. And he arrived. He said, Barry, I have something for you. And he came in, and he had an exercise bike. That was wonderful. And then him and his wife went back out again to the van, come back in with another one. And we have one for Anne. So we have two exercise bikes in 1 week. So, and I phoned Pastor Jared, and I told him about it. He was full of rage and anger, knowing how fit I'm going to be. And he just couldn't handle it. So she's fine, amen. Okay, we will move along this morning. And I've condensed some of the headings here purposely. And what I want to do is, we just wanted to capsulize some of it material. And then we'll move on to where we are here today. So, the end is near. And we looked at that. Let me just push that back a little bit. We looked at that last week. No, that's fine. Yeah, that's perfect. Good man. Thank you. So, okay, briefly, let's capitalize. So, coming down to where we are here. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, now I changed this, as you noticed from last week. He said, I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? The reason I changed it for this morning is to tie into where we're going here. Here we have the beginning of lying and the whole breakdown of the moral status and the relationship of people, of individuals relating together. And to move in this context, I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? He lied purposely. He didn't want responsibility. He didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to take upon his own life a responsibility for anything else. That is not what God's people are called to do. We're not called to. We'll look at that this morning. So go ahead, Geraldine. We looked at political compromise in 2 Kings 16, verses 5 through 9. That's where it starts. I read it to you, how the king politically made agreements with other nations and to be like other nations, to make sure they were the same as other nations. Even it meant changing the laws of God, the things of God, the house of God, and that does not work. Then from political compromise, we moved to religious compromise. The church wanted to be like the world. Let's keep everybody happy. We'll all love Jesus, and you can love him whatever way you want. No, that's not what the Bible says. There's a way we come to God. We sang it here this morning. We've been at the table of the Lord. There's a way that you come to God to have God's provision, to have God's blessing, to have his presence and his provision. There's a way that God does things. Then, out of that, they became a captive nation. Perhaps we're moving this way at the moment in society. I talking yesterday to Joe Kelly, you know Joe and Ruth, and he was saying that from here on, he says, the computer world regarding banking, which he is in the computer industry, he said, it is changing rapidly because they have discovered now they will have to make provision in the online world, the computer world, for these events to happen and not to creep up on them. He said, what they had turned down, the banks had turned down a year ago, now they're scrambling to put in place. And he says, I have friends that are making a fortune. This is, unfortunately, I didn't come up with the idea, they did. But the whole security realm that's developing. Security. Everything is becoming secure. Okay. Lost its leader in 2 Kings 17. Lost their way. Now, that's a dangerous thing in the house of God. That's why I personally, you often hear me, I always refer, he's my friend Jared Dunphy. But when I'm in the pulpit, it's Pastor Jared. Now, I do that for a reason. I do that for you. Because we're friends, Sister Pam. But Now, in the pulpit is Pastor Gerald. I always keep the house of God in order. Do you understand? Does that make sense? Okay? It's not about the friendship is a separate thing when I leave the pulpit. But this, where I'm standing, represents Maranatha. What has been built, what they have sacrificed their lives to do, what they've given themselves to do with others and many of you who serve and doing, bringing about what we do here this morning, the whole thing about safety. People have given time. I don't treat that lightly, nor does God. Lost us later. Go ahead. And after this, we then... Okay, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Now, I want to read the chapter a moment to you because I want to highlight something here. In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came on upon them, being greatly disturbed but that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. It annoyed them. The table annoyed them. There was a problem with the resurrection. There was a problem with the name of Jesus. There's a problem with what they believed. And now it moves on down, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and a number of men came to be about 5,000. That's a pretty good day's work in evangelism. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Regarding the miracles and the power of God and the man being healed. It's amazing, if you study Scripture carefully, it's always the power of God that stirs up the world. You study it. You examine it for yourself. And they answered then, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Now, this is verse 12. Now, all of a sudden, it changes here from a religious statement, from a statement regarding the resurrection power of Christ and the cross and what's made available to us in the church was the healing power of God. It now changes abruptly. And it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That verse just ripped right through the Sanhedrin and throughout the world. As I stand here today before you, this verse leaves the church this morning politically incorrect. Now, the constitution of our church leaves us constitutionally correct. Politically, that's not acceptable. So we have a battle. We have a battle. Now, that battle is not new. This is not new. Let me just move, Geraldine. What is the church's response to this? How do we respond to what's taking place around us today, the days ahead, and whatever the course life is going to take from here? But let's look at it. Go ahead, Geraldine. It's faith in the midst of a new culture. Is there a new culture arising around us? A new way of living, which we have to look at and accept regarding the sexual world, regarding politics, and everything that's taking place. Is there something rising around us? In looking at this a moment, in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, Jeremiah said, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on his behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Now that got Jeremiah into a lot of trouble. They threw him into pits. They did everything. You read that. They said, why would you even say that, Jeremiah? How could that possibly be? How could we be in a heathen nation and bless them? How could we go into captivity and be a blessing to them? Well, watch this a moment. In blessing, the word that's used for welfare is, this involves friendships, relationships, workplace, communities, government, representation for the well-being of the place you live. You are to bring peace. That's the word welfare means, to bring peace. We have welfare offices. I think there's over 150 of them in Ireland. Welfare offices. They're designed to bring peace, not just money. They're designed to bring a peace to community. The church was called to do this. In fellowship, friendship, relationship, in everything. We're to be a witness to the world. In Daniel 1, in chapter 3, through verse 20, you can read the book of Daniel here for yourself. But Nebuchadnezzar, the king, decided that his empire needed a cultural re-education. He decided this has to be changed. We have got to change our society. Now, this is going on around us in the world today. A re-education about who's a boy and who's a girl. The whole sexual thing. You're back to the whole Sodom and Gomorrah. Apart from all that, it's an identity politically. Who are we today? What was taken for granted in our society, for example, in Ireland, I mentioned to you maybe 25, 35, 40 years ago, it's not acceptable now. It's not acceptable. Politically, the world has taken another road. Nebuchadnezzar decided we need a cultural re-education. So, out of that, this cultural re-education course involved four elements. Create a new normal. Oh, that person lives such a way, this way, that way. That's normal. There's something in that which you have to examine. Is this normal according to Scripture? Education in Babylon, the Babylonian language, culture, and learning. A complete education of people from the schools right up. And let's look at it. The first one, there was maintenance by the state. The state took control of people. They took over the people. A form of communism, but it wasn't actually communism as such, but a form of it. They are in control. Your freedom of thought, your freedom of action, your freedom of deeds, your freedom of movement come under a maintenance, a state attitude. A career in the political administration of the Babylonian Empire. Can I work with this as a Christian? Can I work in this system? Can I work around this? Do I fit into this? The substitution of the Babylonian names for their own ethnic names. They substituted their names. The names were changed. The titles over the doors of offices were changed. Titles, the whole historical structure and formation of the nation was about to take another road. What we did in the past does not fit anymore the ethnic format of where we're going. We have to change it all. And we're entitled to call you what we want to call you. Well, Joseph went through that in the book of Genesis. You know that. Pharaoh changed his name. That's fair enough. Okay. Take a close look a moment with me here at their answers. You read it for yourself, Daniel chapter 1. For the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving, but it's good for you to get a Bible, open it and read it and see is Barry White telling you the truth. But let's look at the answers. To a pagan education, they said what? Yes. Okay. To a political career, they said yes. To a change of name, they said, yeah. Okay, it's fair enough. to the king's food, they said, no. Now, Pastor Jared, I want to ask you an honest question. I'm not allowed to move here, okay? But I want to ask you this. What's wrong with a nice 10-ounce sirloin, a few French fries and little mushrooms on the side, and a little bit of an offee pie after it's over? Why would you say no to that? I think there's a little bit more to it than just the food. And if you follow this through a moment, I have looked at this. How do I answer this for you? How do we answer these questions regarding education, pagan education, regarding the earth being an explosion, comes out of a bubble, a bang, and God did not create it? How do we handle that in schools? How do we do this? There's a lot of things in this morning, which is moving me forward here, as I've looked at this over the last week or two, into dangerous territory. Now, what do I mean by dangerous territory? These young men have found themselves in a place where their lives are not what matters. That's not what matters. My life does not matter. In our society, to us at this present time, our life means a lot. And you do. If something happens to you, we would come as best we can to visit hospitals or whatever. You know that. But this just moved now beyond that. Here's a little thought to help you with it. The king's food of Daniel chapter 1. If you move to chapter 3, the king's food has become the king's furnace. They end up in a furnace. A little bit more to this than just food. It gets down to a separation now where the church becomes what God intended it to be. A lot of things get removed around these young men. A lot of things get separated around them. And they have to take a stand. Because the food represented covenant relationship with the king. I'll serve you, king. I'll help you bless this land. I'll bless people. I'll help the poor. If I can in any way be of any help to you in government to help this nation, to look after the sick, the broken, the destitute, yes, we're available. Education, well, you do realize it's not what we believe, but we can educate people otherwise in business and in workplace and how to be skilled men, women in carpentry and everything. We can help you. We can work there. But this is what we believe. And as you move through these areas, if you want to change our names, you want to change that, that's as long as it doesn't interfere with who I am as a person, you can call me what you want. As long as it's not too early in the morning, but you can call me what you want. The name's not the identity. It's the person. It's the person, the Bible says, the person of Christ Jesus. See, you can lose identity in these little words. It's in his person. It's what he did for us on that cross. It's not just the name. It's what it stands, what's behind it. The Son, only begotten Son of the Father. There's authority. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He was Emmanuel in Isaiah. He was Nazarene. He had many different names. But the redemptive name became alive in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ, because he was Jesus at birth. Jesus Christ at baptism. He was Lord Jesus Christ at the resurrection. My Lord and my Savior, Thomas said. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay. Listen to this a moment. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The seal of God? In Revelation chapter 13, and down to verse 16, it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and mean that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. We're getting into dangerous territory. This is something, this verse in chapter 9 is the one very often that people jump over. Is the seal of God. You call it the seal, you call it a mark, or it's called a sign. In the original text, the Bible wasn't written in English, but in the original text, the word that's used here for the mark, the seal, it's used 51 times in the Bible. And the people say, well, oh yes, well, Cain was the first one to have a mark. God put a mark on him so that people wouldn't touch him. That is not the first mention. It's not. I'm going to look at it with you next week because it's very important. Now, maybe you want to get signed up early next week or else there'll be nobody here at all. I'm not too sure. I'm challenging this morning with four questions. Could we maybe just go back, Geraldine, please? How you would function in answering. Now, we as pastors, we will not tell you what to do. The Bible tells you what to do. The Bible instructs you. Billy Graham. The Bible says it. The Bible. Ruth Graham, who was with us, we laughed with her when I remember her father doing that. The Bible says. We are coming into these days. What does the Bible say? Not the program, not the project. If you follow this word to a pagan education, they said, yes. The Bible says in John 17, I think it is, if I remember correctly, you're in the world, but you're not of it. You're in it. We are in the world. But the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall be salted. You're the light of the world. Jesus preached the kingdom, the disciples preached the church. We're to go out there. How else are they going to hear unless you're there? How are they going to know it? Also, in a political career, yes. Or you shouldn't be in politics. Yes, you should. Your voice should be heard. The church should be heard. Honorably, morally, and in integrity. That's not just, oh, you do this. No, a proper position for the church. Why? You represent community. You represent what God's doing in this area. Who are you? Oh, that's what the Bible says. And also, just to go on ahead, Geraldine. Sorry, I missed the name change there. You know, in this context of the name and who they are, let me go back to the function, a word I mentioned earlier here about maintenance. You're entitled to your pension. You're entitled to sick benefit. You pay your taxes. You're entitled to the benefits of a land you've given into. It's God. Go and bless the land you're going to, Jeremiah said, and make sure you take care of their welfare. Look after people. Be an example. Bring peace to them. Now, if ever we need peace, I think we're in that time zone at the minute. People are struggling. I know that people have contacted us, and Anne and I, and said, could you just pray with us? They didn't mention anything. We prayed with pastors. Some of them have massive mortgages. Of course, same. We have to pay the mortgage here in our loan here from Maranatha. So please, don't neglect your giving. I just say that because let's keep ourselves in integrity. Because it's COVID doesn't mean I'll stop giving. No, I would encourage you to give a little extra. Hope you don't mind me saying that. That's for free. But it's good. So we keep stability and strength in the house. So we have a freedom to give. And it says you bring a peace to the place that you live. It's my feeling. I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord because I'm studying through this at the moment. But it's my feeling that the church is coming into a whole different place in the days ahead. And it's tied in to what I read to you on the seal. Because when you study the word on the seal, you recognize very, very clearly what that word means is that God does something with his people amongst the world that makes them take notice. Now, when they take notice, it can be like Nebuchadnezzar, it can be like the Sadducees, like I read in Acts chapter 12, they may turn on us. That's fine. I don't mean it's not fine. I'm not saying that glibly or lightly. It's not something we want. But here is where we're at. This is what we believe. This is what we stand for. This is who we are. And especially when we come down to the area of the table of the Lord. I understand people recognize in the table, well, it's fellowship. I'm in fellowship one with the other. But the main emphasis, if you go back to the Lord's Supper, which is not exactly the Lord's table the way we have it in the church, Corinthians, Paul speaks about the table. But the Lord's Supper was about relationship, because there were those there that were not in fellowship. And you know who I mean, by Judas. And even Peter, his colors were made very clear when he spoke to the young lady, said, I never knew the man. But whenever Christ had died and rose again the third day, the church in the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, the commencement of the authority of the outpouring of the power of the Holy Ghost upon the church, they had been living with it up to this time. Now the power of God has come upon them. That's why the Bible says in the scripture about the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Was it John's baptism or Jesus? John had the Spirit with him. Christ brought the Spirit upon them. 19 different references in the Greek languages and the preposition that explains how the Spirit works in your life. But Pentecost brought the Spirit upon the church for the reason to move in the power of God, that signs would follow you that believe. That's the church, I believe, that's lying ahead of us. The pandemic, God knew all about it. Well, why would God allow this? Why would God allow that? If we sometimes stop and examine how we're living in the world, I think we would recognize from the book of Romans that God's calling a few things to attention. Just to attention. I'm not saying he's dealing with it. That's a different matter. Judgment begins in the house of God, doesn't begin in the world. All right? So maybe God's awakening the church. So next week, Pastor Jared, we're going to get out of the boat and onto the water. And if I make any errors and the things go wrong, don't come to me. Come to Sister Pam. She'll sort it out for you. Okay? She has it all sussed. But we need to take a look at this mark. Because these young men in the book of Daniel have just taken a seal upon them that's going to separate them. And the recognition of Daniel chapter 3, which is the king's furnace, I'm not eating your food. You're not. Light that fire 7 times more. In other words, as much as that furnace can take. Even those who put the young men into the furnace, they died. The young men in the furnace, I like this one. I like this. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their garments. I call that power. What kind of church? What kind of church do you want to belong to? Ask yourself this week. What kind of church? Not what type. You get all types of churches. What kind of church? When it comes down to saying no, as we look at it, it creates a totally different type of church. And it creates a whole different kind of church. In other words, things are not so slack. Things are really designed for God's power and the work of the cross to be manifest in your life. Greater things than these shall you do. Greater things. What does that mean? It's just not physical. It's material. It's possessional. It covers every area of your life. When they said about the young man who had been healed, he said, here he is. He's standing whole. Whole. Nothing was missing. As the church, I want to be part of the last days. Sometimes we got to say no. Let's stand together. Time is gone. I want to pray with you. I'm going to anoint Pastor Jared. And before I do that, I just want to pray in light of this, what we're sharing at the moment, the next few weeks. I want to ask God to protect you from the pandemic. I believe the church has had authority. It says there wasn't a feeble one amongst them. In Egypt, the blood was on the doorpost, on the lintel, and it went past. I'm going to believe for you as I anoint Pastor Jared. I'm going to believe for your life, protection. For God to come and guide you, guide and protect your family. It was for the families as well, not just for the individual. A lamb for a household. Start praying for your children, your family, your loved ones. Especially those who you don't love, pray for them. That's put a little bit of pressure on you. It's good for you. To bring peace to their lives. So I'll anoint Pastor Jared, and then I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today, and the anointing oil represents that of the Holy Spirit. It's symbolic. And today, as Maria has said, don't send us away empty. No, send us away with your love, your presence, your protection, your guidance, and your direction. Just come. And I pray for the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and for the fellowship and the love of God and the grace of God to rest upon your lives today and on your families. And we will see the power of God manifest in his church, which is the individual going into the highway and the byway, into their homes, into the workplace, everywhere, and taking the power of God. What a great God you are. We love you. Thank you for gathering together with your people, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. I'm sorry you can't shake hand. Well, go ahead. Let's give the Lord a hand.